just feel short here. Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2 on page 1692 in your Bible, and it's verses 1 to 21. And I think Joe did this to test me. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who speak Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You did great, Vicki.
Thanks. I looked at those snuff things. Oh my goodness.
I wasn't certain whether I should have wore armor this morning or not when Vicki came. How many of you would volunteer to read all the names? But you did wonderful, and we do thank you. I think we better start with prayer. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful day that you provided for us here today, for the sunshine, for those who are returning, for those who just need to be here, to hear your word, to feel your spirit move within them. We thank you for all that you provided for us today, and we pray that you'd bless us and come in and be in each one of us today. Make your will known. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I first got here this morning, and I asked Bonnie if she could commandeer one of the kids to light our candles for us. And why do you think I did that? Because it represents what today is. Think about it. Think about Pentecost Sunday. So, how did we get the light? God sent his son, his child, as an infant. No strength. Couldn't feed himself. Can you imagine sending your child to somebody else, to some other world? I couldn't. No parent could do that. It'd be just so hard. But yet he sent his son here as an infant, helpless in all things he does, to bring light to the world. And then he went to the cross. And why did he do that? So that the light would come to us. So we'd have an opportunity to have that light within us. And what do? We sit here and wait. Just like the disciples did in this upper room. If you read my sermon online, you probably didn't read that part, because I didn't include it. But I do want to start with three stories. So, and I want you to figure out and think about what's the common theme in all of them. So the first story I want to tell you about. So it's about a woman who lived in Texas. She was a motivational speaker. She would speak at conventions. Okay. Anyway, so recently she'd been away for...
Hey, Joe, you mic's on?
I had no idea. Probably. So, glitches in the system. Is that better? So anyway, she's away, and she's been speaking for 5 nights in a row. She gets home, and her husband sees her, and he says, "Honey, I think you ought to sleep in tomorrow. Take the day off. Sleep in." And she says, "I think that's a good idea." And so she does. She night goes by, she sleeps in, and she wakes up rather late in the morning, and she gets out of bed. And she stretches thinking, "Oh, I felt good to sleep in." And she gets up. She gets out of bed to get her, make her morning coffee. When she gets up, she puts on this old frayed out old blue robe that won't hardly stay closed. And puts her feet in a pair of slippers. You know, them sliding kind that you kind of have to scuff along in it just to keep them on. I know most of you women have these. My wife has these. So anyway, she's got this on, and she goes by a mirror. Can't stand the hair just kind of standing everywhere. So she gets some of them great big plastic pink curlers, you know, they wrap up their hair in. I haven't ever experienced it, but I've seen it. And so and she goes out and she starts to make her morning coffee. She realizes these two garbage bags here, and today is trash day, and they're not forgiving about this. You have to have your trash out there, or you're going to be stuck with this garbage for the week. So she grabs these two trash bags, and she's got her robe on. She's trying to hold that closed. Got these pink curlers, and she's got to scuff along because she don't want to lose her shoes. And she's headed out to the street. Here comes the garbage truck. Well, he stops, and he's just about ready to leave, and she yells out, "Hey, mister, am I too late?" And he looks back at her and says, "Nah, get on." Keep this story in mind. Second story, it came from Dr. Jim Staniford, who's a pastor in the United Methodist Church in San Diego. And he said when he first came to San Diego, he used to golf with a man named Larson Cook. But he hadn't done it in a while since they were there. And his wife came up one day, she says, "Jim, why don't you go golfing with Larson Cook anymore?" And he looks at her and he says, "Well, I know it's been a long time," he says, "but think about it." He says, "Now, will you go golfing with somebody who would just walk up and kick his ball into the fairway when it was in the rough? Or would you golf with somebody who didn't keep the right score? Or he took a countless number of mulligans? You know, or when he got to the lake, he kept hitting one ball after another into the water just because he wanted to get it over." And she looked at him and said, "No, I wouldn't." He says, "Well, Larson Cook wouldn't either." So my third story, though, really got to me because it was about a pastor. So there's a pastor who puts an ad in the paper. He needs a handyman. Somebody to help him out in the church. So he places an ad in the local paper. Well, day after the ad runs, this young man, he shows up at his door, knocking. And he looks at the young man, and he instantly knows this guy is here for the job. So he looks at him, he says, "Son," he says, Can you be here at every morning at 7 o'clock? He said, well, yes, sir. He says, can you wash dishes? And he said, well, yes, sir, I can. Can you cook breakfast? And the guy scratched his head and said, yes, sir, I can. He said, well, you know, there's going to be times when you're going to be asked to polish the silverware. And light candles and fill wicks and that kind of thing. He says, yes, sir, I could probably do all that. And he said, well, there's also might, as he goes on, and he says, there's also a time where you have electrical problems and issues. You know, so you may need to be able to fix them and handle some plumbing issues, especially like in the bathroom. Sometimes they overflow. You know, somebody's got to clean it up. And he says, wait a minute, Pastor. And the pastor says, what? He said, well, I came here for wedding counseling, but if it's going to be like that, we're going to cancel the whole thing. What do you think these things all have in common, besides being humorous? It's all about people being able to laugh at themselves. They all told the stories about themselves. And that's a really healthy thing. It shows a real maturity in your relationship with yourself and how you deal with your problems mentally and physically. And you're thinking, Pastor, what has this got anything to do with Pentecost Sunday? Well, when I got to thinking about this, I got thinking about this healthy relationship. How do we develop it? The book of Acts was written by, I like to call him Dr. Luke, the same guy who wrote the book of Luke. That's the same guy, he wrote this book of Acts. And he was a physician. So you think about it. So as a physician, so what would his advice be? If you'd gone to any physician I ever went to, they say, you got to have a yearly checkup. You need to do it at least once a year. Well, Dr. Luke, I think in his account, if you were with us today, he says, you need to not only have a physical checkup, you need a spiritual checkup. You need a faith checkup. And I think that's what Pentecost Sunday does for us. It gives us an opportunity to have a faith checkup. So how do we do this? So how would you do a faith checkup? If you were going to write it down, how would you do it? Any idea? Well, I had a few ideas. So I wrote some questions out that I think that all of us need to ask ourselves. So the first one was, so do you have a healthy relationship with God? I mean, we're going to make our own house call here. We all have to think about this. Do you have a healthy relationship with God? What does your relationship look like? When I started making my notes, I thought, what are these? What do most people have? So is your relationship with God based on fear? Or how about guilt? I mean, if you have a basic relationship with God, if what you see when you think about God is everything you're going to do for God is based on fear and guilt, that's not healthy. That is not healthy. Or maybe your relationship with God is based on self-interest. And maybe you didn't think of it that way. But self-interest people, when they base their relationship with God on self-interest, they're thinking, okay, so if I do good here, God's going to bless me. If I do bad there, God's going to curse me. How many of you think that way? Well, that's not a healthy relationship either. What does a healthy relationship with God really look like? The more I thought about it, and I keep thinking about it, it's a saying we all know. We all know that God didn't send his son here. God doesn't give his spirit to us, not because of anything we do, not because he wants us to fear him or to love him. He did it because he already loved us. He knew us before we were born. He already loves us. So what are we supposed to do? And this is something we all heard. Do your best. Trust God for the rest. That's all we can do. We do our best with what He has provided for us, and we have to trust God with the rest of us. What's your relationship? Is your relationship healthy towards God? I want you to think about this someday, especially when you leave here. The second question you need to ask yourself is similar. It says, so do you have a healthy relationship with others? Think, what does that got to do with Pentecost Sunday? Do you have a healthy relationship with others? In order to do that, it's really important in this church family. So when I thought about that, I thought, the best way I can relate how we have a healthy relationship with others, what does it really look like? So I thought about it, and I thought, so years ago, my uncle used to come and get me when I lived down here. So I'll be about this time, a year's time, cleaning out the barn. He had horses, and nobody wanted to help him clean out his barn. So he'd come and get me, and he'd haul me to his house, and I'd go up there and stay probably a week or so. But it was good. I got to ride horses. We had a good time. But I remember one Saturday night when I was there, and my uncle was a pastor. His name was Jerome. I always knew him as Uncle Bum, but they knew him as Jerome. So we're in his house, and a friend of his shows up, and they're chatting away, and I remember that conversation. I remember him saying, Jerome, I realize tomorrow is Pentecost Sunday, but I don't want you to bore us to death again with talk about the Trinity and the Spirit. Can you imagine that? Somebody telling their pastor not to bore him to death. It was crazy. And as I thought about that, I got thinking, wait a minute. So how am I going to keep from boring my people I'm talking to this morning from going crazy? So they're not falling asleep on me. Yeah, and I remembered when I was a Boy Scout. Anybody else here with a Boy Scout? Did you ever go to Camp Tuscarora? Did you? With a whole bunch of other troops, with kids you didn't know? Well, they sent me there, and our scout leader, who you probably will all can figure out who that was eventually, had a bright idea. He says, you know what we got to do? We got all these Boy Scouts here, and they all know how to get along with one another. I think we ought to split them all up. Take one from each group and put them in a group and give them a mission. So they did that. And he gave us each a map and a compass. And they marked the destination on the map. Says, now, we want to see you there. Let's see who can go. Well, boys are competitive. Oh, this would be great. So I get in this group of five or six other boys. I don't know any of them. So we're gathered together, and we're looking at this map. We're thinking, okay, what's the best plan? And it naturally goes around. Somebody ends up being a leader. We all decide, okay, we need to head that way, and it's up over Tuscarora Mountain into the woods. So we get our little compass out, and we head out. We figure, we're going to beat everybody else there because nobody else is headed into the woods, which we really didn't think is strange, but I know what my compass is saying. This is where we ought to go. So we're all going there, all five or six of us. Well, next thing I know, we're halfway up the mountain, and it got dark. Fog set in, and we're looking around, and nobody brought a flashlight. It kept getting darker and darker. Pretty soon, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. So we all made a decision. We need to hold hands if we're going to get out of this mountain, off this mountain. So each one of us grabbed each other's hand. And on the way down, there's times you couldn't see nothing but the hand in front of you, the hand behind you. And we stopped a few times and argued about which way to go. But the one thing we never did was let go of the other person's hand. Now, I didn't know any of these guys. They didn't know me. But we knew if we were going to survive this, we needed to build a relationship with the persons around us.
It's the same way in a church family. You have to build that same relationship. That relationship to be honest with one another, to know that you can rely on the person next to you, that they will lead you down. That's what a church family is all about. That's what Pentecost is all about. That's why the Spirit comes into us and joins us together. That's why the Bible says where two or three are joined together, there I will be also. Because we need to hold hands. So we need to build a healthy relationship with God. We do our best, trust God than the rest. We need to build a healthy relationship with others. We need to figure out how we can hold hands. How we can become a community, a family. The third question you need to ask yourself for this faith checkup: do I have a healthy relationship with myself? You think, well, I love me. Well, no, I don't. And most of us don't. And that's the problem. We're always thinking we should be better, or that person's better at this than I am. And that kind of relationship, is that a healthy relationship? No. What we need for a healthy relationship, and I think if you do a little study on it, is to affirm your worth. What's that mean? Affirm your worth. You know what the word affirm means? I looked it up in the dictionary, and I was kind of strange when I got to come to this conclusion, I thought. So affirm means to assert strongly and publicly, to offer emotional support or encouragement. So what is our real worth? Our real worth is faith now, isn't it? That's why it's so important to have this faith checkup. So Dr. Luke, he wrote to us, he says, so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They're waiting and holding on to each other. They're holding each other up in prayer. And they're building a healthy relationship with other believers, weren't they? But then he goes on, he says, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The point when they realized they had real worth. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, when we decide to follow Christ, when we decide to pick up our cross and follow Him, we become sons of God. So now God is truly our Father. And we need to have a healthy relationship with our Father. We need to have a healthy relationship with those around us, to hold each other's up, to hold each other's hands, to make sure that they don't fall, so they don't go blindly into the night. And we need to have a healthy relationship with ourselves. We need to affirm our worth, to state our worth, not be ashamed of it. How many of you are going to leave here today and go tell somebody, I'm a child of God. God is my Father. I pray that you can. Now I'm going to ask somebody to come hold my hand, and we're going to sing the Spirit song. Emily, if you'd come up and give me a hand. We didn't have a chance to practice. I texted her this at 6 in the morning. Figured since the girls couldn't sing this week, we needed some special music. And this song just kept sitting in my heart. And Cecil graciously said, I will. And I think that was at 6 o'clock this morning. Yeah. Then my wife happened to see my phone and says, who did you text? And I said, Emily. And she says, are you out of your mind? She's probably not. Well, you probably woke her up out of bed. I said, nah, she's a farmer. She gets up earlier than that. So I'm certain most of you know this song. And if you would like, you can join us on the course. Yep, maybe I know it.
Let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Let Him have the things that hold you and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your land. And your hearts are filled with joy, with hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness, give Him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, come and fill your land. Jesus, oh Jesus, come.
Father, we do thank You for the Spirit that You send here today, for just to fill the hearts, the souls, and the minds of everyone, so that when we leave here, we can truly say, I have a good relationship with God, I have a good relationship with others, and I have a good and healthy relationship with myself, because I know that I am a son of God. We pray these things in